All right. Welcome once again, everybody. It is always great to be here with you. I hope you don't get tired of hearing that. I don't get tired of saying it. I really love gathering together with you all, seeing you all here each week. I want to start out today just with this statement. God has given us such an incredible gift through His Son, right? Despite our sin and our unwillingness to follow God, our Creator, the Creator of life, rule in our lives, despite our unwillingness to let Him rule in our lives, Jesus came into the world, lived among us, gave His place, gave His life in place of ours, so that we can have for forgiveness of sins as a result. And through Him, have a new relationship with God, in which the Holy Spirit, God's very Spirit, dwells within each one of us to teach us, guide us, correct us, bless and empower us. He interacts with us in all kinds of ways, every moment of our lives, setting us free from all kinds of bondage to sin. He gives us a fullness of life that God always intended us to have, life with Him. It's a relationship of love and grace and trust and dependence on God. What an incredible gift that is, isn't it? What an amazing gift that God has given us, all made possible through His Son. And that's exactly what we're getting ready to celebrate as Christmas approaches. This amazing gift. We celebrate the coming of the Christ into the world. And the question I want us to begin with today is, how do you respond to such a gift? How do we react to that? Of course, there's lots of different things that we can come up with, lots of different ways we can respond to a gift that we're given. One of those ways, of course, is this week on Thursday, we're celebrating Thanksgiving, a day for giving thanks to God for all that He's given us. And we're going to explore that response a little bit more next Sunday, actually. But the point I hit on last week is that we need to respond by receiving Him. We recognize the need that we have for a Savior. We need to recognize that He's always there. And we need to reach out and receive Him. The gift of life in Christ is something we receive by faith. We trust that God is, or Jesus is the Son of God, that He is able to forgive us our sins. He has the power to provide us with that new life in Christ. It's something we believe by faith, or we receive by faith. And so in inviting God into our lives, we are responding to Him with faith. And that faith is more than just believing intellectually in the truth about Jesus. It's something I hit on a couple weeks ago. That faith that the Bible talks about is a living faith that affects every part of our lives. And it should propel us into some kind of action. This is what James wrote in James 2:18. He said, "But some will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Let me show you your, or you show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" And he goes on to make the point that true faith leads us into action. And so that's kind of the response to this gift that God has given us that I want to talk about today. What kind of action does faith in Christ propel us into? When you think about receiving a gift like that, and you receive just a huge and wonderful gift from somebody, oftentimes our first response is to say, "Whoa, whoa, that's too much. You can't give that to me." Right? Have you ever done that before? Somebody tries to give you something, and you're like, "No, no, I'm not worth that. It's too much." Sometimes that's our response that we have to this gift that God gives us. Or maybe we'll receive it, we'll say we receive it, but we'll say, "You know what, I'm going to pay you back." I don't know how many people in life we've given something to, and they're like, "Okay, okay, I owe you," right? And they keep track of what you've given them. They have this mental tally of, "Okay, they gave me this, and I owe them that," and they try to balance it out. We try to do that with God sometimes. We try to balance it out. "Okay, God gave me this better gift, this wonderful gift. I better show Him that I'm worth it." And so we spend our life trying to do enough to prove to God that we're worth His gift. And as we do that, we're always asking that question, "Is this enough, God? Have I done enough? Am I worthy now? Have I shown you that I'm good enough for this gift yet?" The problem is that we'll never be able to reach that goal. We can never do enough to earn this great gift that God has given us. And in doing this, and in trying to prove our worth like that, we never truly accept it. We go through life just spinning our wheels, wearing ourselves out, trying to do something that shows God we're worth it. And missing out completely on the relationship he wants us to have. We just kind of hold him off and say, okay, God, as soon as I've shown you enough, then I can receive you. But we can't earn it. That's the whole point of God's grace. That's the whole point of the gospel, is we cannot earn it. We can't show ourselves worthy. The scale is tipped entirely in God's favor. And you can never pile up enough stuff on your side of the equation or your side of the scale to outweigh what God has done for you. You can't make up for those sins. So when we think about responding to this gift that God has given us, the thing we need to understand that we are worthy. You are worthy of God's gift of salvation and life in Christ, not because of anything you've done, but because he's decided you're worthy. And just accept that. He has decided. It was his choice to make. Jesus decided that you were worth being with for eternity. You were worth giving up his life for. That was his choice to make, and he made it. So, it doesn't really work for us to respond to God's gift by trying to repay the gift or trying to prove that we're worth it. We just need to embrace it and accept it. It's a difficult thing to do, I know, sometimes, but it's the truth. That's all we can do with God's gift is just accept it. Now, sometimes another action we might want to respond to as we accept this gift is to say, God, I'm just going to show you how much I appreciate this. I'm going to just pour out myself in devotion to you. Because God has given me this great thing, I'm going to commit myself to doing all the things I can do to show my love and devotion to him. I'm going to go to church regularly. I'm going to participate in all the things that it means to be part of a church. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. I'll worship with my church. I'll sing songs of praise. And those are all good things. That's a good response to have, but it is also something we need to be a little bit careful about and think about why we're doing it or how we're doing it. Because our faith in Christ ought to propel us into greater devotion. But if our focus is on that, if our focus is to say, my response to God is to show him more devotion, you're really focusing on your actions again and what you can do to show yourself worthy. It becomes very similar to what I talked about before. And here's what happens. You see this happen in people's lives over and over. They start out filled with excitement about what God has done, and they just pour out their love to God. And over time, though, that excitement starts to wear off. We can't maintain that level of excitement constantly. We start to get used to things. The excitement wears off. And you just start going through the motions. If your focus, again, is on this is what I'm supposed to do for God, you start to go through the motions of what you're supposed to do. And from there, you start to do what humans always do. When we're called to do things that we're supposed to do, we start asking ourselves, well, do I really need to do that? Do I need to go to church every Sunday? Do I really need to read my Bible right now? Do I have to be involved in Bible studies? Do I have to fellowship with those other people? Right? And sometimes in our minds, when we're thinking about these things, we're like, no, I don't really have to. I can still love God and not do all those things. And we start to step back. We always do that. Every one of us falls into that trap if we're focused on what we're obligated to do. Our original devotion turns into an obligation. And when we're obligated to do things, we always minimize the obligation. We cut it out as much as we can. That's exactly what happened with the Israelites in their relationship with God. He gave them his law. He gave them sacrifices to perform to cover over their sins. He gave them festivals to celebrate. They gave them customs to follow. And all of that was meant to be a celebration of the relationship they had with God and an outpouring of their love for him. But over time, it all turned into religious duty. These are the things that we're supposed to do to get forgiveness from God. And they cut all kinds of corners. There's lots of writings from the prophets about the sacrifices people would start to bring to God. They would bring their lame and weak animals. They'd bring the worst of what they had and give that to God because it would meet the obligation. And God made it very clear through the prophets that this wasn't at all what he was looking for. He's not just looking for religious duty to be done. The prophet Hosea expressed this in Hosea 6:6. Speaking for God, he says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." So in their minds, the Israelites developed this mindset that I was just talking about. They were going to focus on devotion to God. They were going to do what they needed to do. And so they went through the motions. Okay, it's that time of year. I've got to give my annual sacrifice to God to cover over the sins of my family. What do we have? And they'd bring it to the temple and they'd do the sacrifices. And God's like, and they could look at the law and say, see, this is exactly what God said we're supposed to do. But God makes it clear that's not what he was looking for. He's not looking for devotion to religious duty. He was looking for love and knowledge of God. He was looking for a relationship with him. So God doesn't want us to just respond to him by fulfilling our religious requirements. The problem really is that we begin to see it as a requirement. I want you to know that the desire to show devotion to God doesn't have to fade away like this. It doesn't have to go down that path. You can maintain an ongoing desire to just pour out love and thanks to God, but only if that desire comes as a result of something else, a different kind of response to God that we'll talk about in a minute. The devotion, the desire to be devoted to God is, what's the word I'm looking for? It's the result of something else, not the primary thing that we need to do. Our faith needs to be put in action in a different way that leads us into ongoing thanksgiving, not religious duty. So we need to find a different way to respond to God's great gift. One of the ways we sometimes do that then is to focus on seeking God's blessings for our lives. We receive this great gift and we say thanks to God. We're like, wow, what a wonderful thing. Just fill me, Lord, with that love. Let me know how much you love me. Fill me more and more with your goodness and your grace and your provision. And the action our faith takes is to seek more and more and more of that, to find God's goodness everywhere we go, to seek that enrichment in our lives. Now, there are some great biblical promises along these lines that God will enrich our lives when we receive him in faith. And let me just share just a few. Malachi 3:10, God says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Right? He's promising just to bless you abundantly as you're faithful to him. Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." It's a great promise that if we seek God and ask him for things, he will give them to us. And Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." He will supply every need that you have. Those are wonderful promises. But if we go around seeking just fulfillment of those promises, we start to miss out again on that relationship with God. If our core response to God is to seek more of that, just be filled up with God's blessings over and over, we start to miss out on what he really intends. Now, I never want to negate or ignore these great promises of God. I want you to know God will provide for what you need. I fully believe that. But his goal is so much greater than just filling you up with material wealth or blessings and giving you an abundant life. He wants to build a relationship with us. And we need to understand the context that God gives these promises in. He promises to enrich our lives to help us understand that we can trust him. Every time you read about God providing what we need, the point that he's trying to make is, trust me with your life. Stop worrying about it. Stop thinking that you need to take care of yourself because I've got you. I will give you what you need. That's the point that he's trying to make. Not that, trust me and I will be like this magic genie and give you everything you want. No, he's saying, just trust me. Because I'm sure you know, because I know, how easy it is for us to think that we got to be careful with our own lives. We got to be careful because we can't trust anyone else with our lives. We have to watch out for ourselves. You know how easy it is to think that? God's trying to break that in us. He's trying to break that habit in us, because that's really what leads into most sin. So when we think we need to watch out for ourselves and take care of ourselves, it leads us down the path of saying, I am on my own and I am here for myself. And that is not what God wants. God wants to enrich you and let you know that you will be enriched by him so that you will trust him. And that trust is the key ingredient that we really need to act on our faith in Christ in the way that fulfills the things that God wants. The point that I want to get to next, we need that trust in God in order to live in Christ the way God intends us to live. And there's a passage in 2 Corinthians that really points out to this action that I want to talk about today. So if you would, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'll give you a minute to get there. This is really encompasses what God wants us to do as we receive Christ by faith and enter into that life of faith with him. And of course, adding to that faith, or building on that faith, that trust, that knowing that God will give us what we need. We don't have to worry about our lives. So 2 Corinthians 9, we're going to begin reading in verse 6. But let me just give you a context of this chapter a little bit first. The previous section of chapter 9, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth about preparations he's making to receive a gift that they have promised. So this church in Corinth has somehow gotten word to Paul that they want to give some gift, and he's just working out the details about how to do this. And then he begins writing in verse 6, reminding them about the importance of generosity and the context for understanding generosity and the life in Christ. So verse 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, normally when we share that passage, that's where we stop. Because we don't want people to feel guilty or pressured and say, we're not trying to force you into giving more than God wants you to give, right? Which is true, right? We don't want people, and God doesn't want people, giving more of themselves than they feel compelled to do. It's not for us to force anyone to do that. But I read on myself, and I really took in the next statement myself, and I want to share it with you. So right after saying you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now just stop and think about that for a minute. First he says, I'm not here trying to force you to give more than you want to give. You decide in your own heart what God wants you to give. But know this, that God is able to make all grace abound in you. In all things and at all times, he will give you all that you need. And he's saying, let that enter into your thinking before you decide what to give. Right? Remember who you're serving here. Remember the God who's given you this gift. He will give you all that you need. Now, decide what you can give. Let's continue reading on. Verse 9. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for life will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Just think about that for a minute. God is the one who supplied seed to the sower and bread for food. He's the one that gives us the basics of life. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. That was our offering verse this morning. He's the one who provides those things. And Paul says he will increase the store of your seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. As you live that righteous life in Christ, letting God and his Spirit work in you, God will enlarge your harvest and increase your store of seed. And verse 11 is a key verse I want to focus on. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing with many expressions of thanks to God. Here's the point he makes in all of this. You will be made rich in every way Why? So that you can just enjoy God's blessings, so you can say, wow, God is so good. Look what he's done for me. No. He's going to enrich you so that you can be generous on every occasion. So that you can take that abundance, that overflowing love and provision that God gives you, and give it to somebody else. And ultimately, the reason for that is so that people will abound in thanks to God. His grace will abound, and the thanksgiving to God will increase. That's really the action God is calling us to as we step out in faith and put our trust in Christ, to live that life of generosity, to let go of the need to take care of ourselves in every moment, to watch out for ourselves, to make sure nobody takes advantage of us. Let go of that. Trust that God will give you what you need. In fact, he'll give you more than you need so that you can give some of that away to other people. This giving attitude, this generous kind of thinking is what fulfills Jesus' great commandment found in Matthew 22, where he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It takes having that generous heart, that focus on other people, for us to pour out love for God and love for other people. It's an action that we need to take in our faith to show that love in tangible ways. Having a giving attitude requires us to focus on other people. And that's why trusting God is so important. You need to know that he will take care of you. We worry a lot about we're going to miss something. We're going to be taken advantage of. As I said, we might get hurt. And the truth is, those things could happen. But you have to trust that God will take care of you despite anything anyone does. Sometimes we focus on what a challenge it is to be generous. When we give to people, we want them to receive it with joy. We want them to get what we're saying and respond in a positive way. But sometimes people don't respond in a positive way. They respond with judgments. They ignore us sometimes. Sometimes you go out of your way to plan something and nobody shows up. But God doesn't call us to be responsible for how people respond to us. He calls us to be responsible for what we do. And he says, no matter how people respond to you, just continue to give. Because I will just keep filling you up. Right? Think about how Jesus, what would it be like if Jesus responded to that? How many people responded positively to Jesus right away? How many actually, think about the people who beat him and killed him. They didn't listen to him. They didn't receive his generosity. But he died for them anyway. In a similar way, God's calling us to do the same for other people. Go ahead. Let them judge you. Let them hurt you. Because there will be that one person who needs to hear the message, who is waiting to hear the message. And you will reach them if you keep on giving. If we give up, who's going to take the message to them? God calls us to keep on giving and keep on going. And all through this, we need to come back to the reminder that God is for us and he will take care of us. It's when we develop that attitude of generosity that we truly begin to enjoy the benefits of life with Christ. When you love him with all of your heart and with all of your mind and strength, you want to show your devotion to him all the time. That's what I was getting at earlier. If our focus is on loving God and giving him our love, you'll want to show him devotion all the time. It won't be a chore. It's just part of what you want to do. We start to enjoy those benefits when we have that generous attitude. You develop trust in him. You allow the riches he has given you to pour out into the lives of others. With that thought in mind, I'm going to share with you a video now that some of you, I'm sure many of you, have seen before, but we haven't watched it in a while. And some of you, this will be the first time seeing. I'm just going to let the video go, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more after. Never get tired of that video, actually. We showed that before our first ever True North, worship service. It was a preview service we did in town. We said, this is what we're about. We're about breaking that cycle. That we are here to be a life-saving station in this community. And I want to remind you of that today. We are here to be a life-saving station. This illustrates the kind of church that God calls us to be. It's what he wants from his people. There's always this temptation to just enjoy the blessings and the benefits that come from knowing Christ. And those benefits are great. But we got to be careful not to just sit back and rest on that. And just start focusing on enjoying those benefits. We want to share what God has given us. Continue to give of ourselves sacrificially over and over for the sake of those who haven't been saved yet. When my family first came to Cannon Falls, we worked with a very small group of people to start this church. We came to meet people like you, people we didn't even know yet. We came to share God's love, the love that he's shown us. We came to train and encourage and equip you who would come afterward to be givers of God's love too. Our desire is to share in this grand adventure with all who come to this church. And let me tell you, there's so much joy, so much more joy in giving of yourself when you do it with others. And so we want to continue to extend that invitation to all who come part of this church, all of you, to give generously for God's sake of your life. We want to invite followers of Christ to be generous for his sake, not doing it out of guilt or obligation. We're not going to force anyone to do anything. Don't do it for the sake of gaining something for yourself, because after all, we have Jesus Christ. What more do we really need? But do it because you love God with all your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. You know that he is overfilling your life with blessings. And you want your faith to move you into action for the sake of others, for the love of Jesus. We've been talking about this breakfast and this celebration coming up next week. Next Sunday is a day for us to give thanks to God. God has blessed us in such incredible ways. We are giving thanks for the fact that just over a year ago, God gave us this new life-saving station, this outpost for saving people's lives. We really need to see it in that light. This isn't a shelter for us. This isn't a way for us to get away from everyone else and just soak in God's blessings. This is a place to bring in the sick and the poor and the hurting, the weak, the unsaved. Let them make a mess here and let us pour out what God has given us for their sake. And that's why we're putting this emphasis on the breakfast as well next Sunday. It's not just for us. Let's celebrate what God has given, but let's give of ourselves too. And I want to encourage you in the next couple days, in the next week, as you're able, get out there and let people know to come. It'll be such a joy as we do this together. There are opportunities God gives us to individually go out and pour out ourselves to people. But as I said, it's so much nicer when we can do it together. So let's do this together for God's sake. Let's see how many people we can bring in and just pour out God's love to them. No obligations, no strings attached. Let's just see what God does. Let's share our blessings with them. God has given us the greatest gift of all in his Son, Jesus Christ. Receiving him calls for action. And I want you to seriously take some time today to consider the kinds of actions you have taken so far in your faith. Know that you can't prove your worth to God. He has chosen you already and declared you worthy. Know that there are no religious obligations you must require. He's not demanding anything of you to receive his gift. So there's no duty for you to fill. All he's given you is an invitation to love him with all you have, and an invitation to trust him with your life. And I have no doubt that when you put your faith in Christ, God will supply every need of yours through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And so he's inviting you to trust. And what else is there to do when he pours out such blessings in our lives than to give it away, knowing that God will never let us run out. He will never forget about us. But as we pour ourselves out, others will come to be saved. They will receive his gifts too. And they will pour out thanks to God. That's our ultimate goal. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So remember that. God will enrich you to be generous toward others. Let that be the action of your faith in Jesus Christ. So let's give him thanks today for such blessings, for enriching our lives. And then ask him to give us the courage and the strength and the faith to continue to pour ourselves out for the sake of others. Let's pray together and then praise God. Lord God, I thank you for the wonderful ways that you have blessed each and every one of us, the ways that you have blessed this church, Lord. In the short time that we have been in this community, and the even shorter time we've been in this place, Lord, you have done wonderful things. And we thank you for those things. And I pray that you would give us all the kind of faith that recognizes your provision, that lets go of our need to take care of ourselves and is able to just pour out those blessings into other people's lives. Let us be givers, Lord. Let us be generous in every way, because we know that we can depend on you, and because we love you with all of our hearts and all of our mind and all of our strength. Let us expend all of our strength showing that love to you and to those you bring into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.